Mother, man.
This is Laura Kovacs, wife of CK, and you're listening to Murder Metal Mayhem.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal Mayhem! All right, thanks for doing this interview with me for Murder Metal Mayhem. Laura, you are royalty here since you were married to the one and only CK, known as Chris Kovacs. But since we had two Chrises, somebody had to be a nickname. So it's funny because Chris Shawback is the one that came up with CK. So we just started calling him CK. And
I have to tell you, he loved it.
Oh, that's cool. I never knew that he liked it that much.
Oh, my gosh. That was the thing. That was the thing.
Oh, that's really cool. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. I did not know he liked it that
much. He said he never really had a nickname. So for that, he thought that was just great.
That's cool. Yeah, Chris came up with it, and it just kind of stuck. And so he's always been CK almost since he's been doing the podcast. And so we're doing this as a part of a tribute to CK because, of course, he passed in October on the 22nd. And I know it's not been easy for you, Laura, to deal with losing a spouse. You guys are married for a long time, and his 9-year cancer fight was very inspiring to me and many of us.
Boy. Absolutely.
And how are you doing here now, a few months removed from all that?
Well, I am hanging in there. Things are getting a little better. It took a little bit because right after he passed, I had to move.
Yeah.
As you know,
you had to leave Wildman Street.
Yeah, Wildman Street. And, I'm kind of glad I got out of there because the news now that I'm hearing is there's a lot of robberies over there.
Oh,
there's three bars within,
like,
walking distance there, and it's gotten really bad there. So it's kind of good that I moved. I'm still in Danbury, but I've moved across town, so I'm closer to the west side now.
Okay.
But I could still hear that damn train. I could tell you, I could still hear it.
The 920
was not as loud.
Always when Chris was on, it was that 920 train from Danbury.
Oh, because you could always hear it, and especially in the spring and the summer when he had the windows open. I'm sure it was deafening to you guys.
True.
But things are better.
You look
took
great.
Me a while to move, as you know. There was a lot of stuff to clean out, and my lovely husband's record and CD collection made that part of it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
really
that.
Tough,
that was legendary.
Things are better now.
Good for you. Good for you. And how long were you guys at Wildman the whole time you were married?
Well, I have to tell you, Chris lived there first.
Right.
Chris had lived there for a few years before.
Upstairs, right?
I won't even get into the long story.
Yeah, it's a crazy one.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. But when I met him, he was living on the third floor.
Right.
So I moved in with him there. We got married. Whirlwind isn't even the word. We met in April. We were engaged at the beginning of June.
Oh, wow.
And married in December.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize it was
it's
that
like
quick.
We said to each other, I mean, my parents were like, oh, my God, what are you doing? But, when you know.
Right.
And it was right for both of us. I mean, immediately when we met, which is a weird story on, I think it was Yahoo's Personal, which doesn't exist anymore. But the first time that we met, we talked. He said, I'll give you my phone number so you can call me if you're comfortable. And I'll tell you, 5 hours we talked.
Wow.
Because it was just so many things to talk about, and we had so many things in common.
That's
and
cool.
We decided to go to dinner, and I had a friend sit in the back of this diner that we met at.
Oh, that's a smart
move. Just to make sure that he was okay,
right.
And not that you know my height and all that stuff, so I'm not really afraid of anybody, but
I was gonna
you never
say.
Know.
Sure.
But we were there forever, and finally my friend just walked past us and said, I'm out. You're good.
Awesome.
We were
that's
good.
Cool.
And
ever
and
since.
We went from there, and it like I said, it just clicked.
Yeah.
And it would have been 17 years this
year.
Oh my
gosh. We were just
shy of 17
you.
Years.
Wow.
So
wow.
Yeah. I mean, he was a phenomenal guy. You know that.
Yeah, definitely. And he inspired so many people. You know, we had that young listener from Arkansas, that girl, that six-year-old girl loved CK. Her mom would edit out the podcast so she could listen to it.
That's fantastic.
Of course, only CK segment because pretty much the rest of it, not very
kid-friendly.
I can't
tell you how long he talked about that.
Yeah.
That made him so happy that a young listener thought that he was awesome and that what he talked about mattered. That was a big deal to him.
Yeah. Well, it was a big deal to all of us, but I can't imagine how he must have felt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he liked that so many people really liked him. But when he found out a young listener was into that, he was like, I've inspired somebody in the younger generation to like my kind of music. And that makes me happy.
That's cool. I always talk to him about that whole, the way it feels when you're involved in something like that. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, I played in bands for a long time. So I kind of have been grown very used to. But it's still humbling when somebody comes up to you and says, I really like what you do, you know, this and that. Yeah. So when we started doing the podcast and he was getting involved and he was real down on himself for being awkward and not feeling comfortable. And I told him, I said, you know, just think about, you know, how many people are going to hear what we do and
absolutely,
and for whatever reason, be inspired to get up to go to work that day or come home from a shitty day and just laugh their ass off listening to crazy stories from three guys just chit-chatting, you know, and then it became four of us with Joey. But anyway, but Chris always, you know, CK always would talk about how, you know, he thought it was really cool because he didn't get to experience like I did with the band thing and the writing and stuff. Yeah. So he really felt like that was like his 15 minutes, you know, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I mean, it was nice for him too, because I think it made him feel good that what he said mattered, you know, to people, and that he felt like he was really educating people with all of the information, you know, that he was giving on the bands. And and I'll tell you that at first, like you said, he did feel awkward. He kept saying, you know, I'm not that
good. He hated hearing
himself.
As good
as the other guys. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
You know exactly what you're talking about. I would listen in. I was always doing my own thing, but I would listen in, and he just got, you could just see his face would light up when he started talking about these bands. That was just like his element. You know it. It was definitely a thing.
Yeah, he was ridiculously skilled at being able to just riff on a band for virtually no notes, which always blew my mind because I'm reading off basically a script for the true crime stuff because there's no way in hell you could remember all those places and dates, especially every week like that.
So much detail.
But he was able to do it with the bands just with very minimal, you know, notes. It's just unbelievable.
I have to tell you, his mind, Pete, he had almost like a photographic memory. If he looked up a band, which when he got the subject, whatever he was going to do that week, he was on, he was focused. That was what he was doing. He would study that band, but he didn't have any notes. I can tell you from watching him, he had no notes in front of him when he spoke, nothing.
Wow.
He had it. It was all from memory. He would focus on that band. And if he didn't have the band in front of him, like to listen to the music, unfortunately for me, he would order the CD.
And
he would have it. And, you know, when I wasn't at home during the day, he would listen to every single song on that CD and he would read the liner note. He knew every detail, as you know, about every band that he did, all from memory. He would remember it.
Wow.
And so when he told you guys and he was telling you about the band and the things that they did, that was all everything that he studied like during the week.
Unbelievable. Yeah, he just really incredible. And we've talked about his insane music collection. And the very first time I came out to visit, I was going to stay in this room. This is funny because our listeners, some have probably heard the story, but now it's fun having you here to talk about it with me. But this would have been, I think, 2017.
I believe it was it was
2017.
It was after 17.
It was after the accident, about 4 months after the car accident. So, I came out there September of 2017, and you guys had a spare bedroom where Chris CK would keep all his, you know, vinyl, his CDs, and all this stuff. And you were really worried that I was going to like trip and fall down in this room. So all week I was doing everything I could to tiptoe around like piles. I mean, you guys listening or watching, you have no idea. A fairly decent sized bedroom in a house literally filled with boxes and boxes.
I have to tell you, somewhere on my phone, I have a photo.
I have pictures of
a couple of photos of that room, but after the fact.
Oh my gosh.
After you stayed in that room, and I will send them to you sometimes so you could see what it actually turned into. But I remember when you came, I was panicked because I'm like, you really need to clean that out before the, before something happens in that room.
Right.
And that day,
it was the last day I was there.
I was. And I was like, you know, I'm thinking we're going to make it through. Okay, we're going to make it through. And then when I heard that thud, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm a big guy. If you're watching this or you've seen pictures of me, I'm not a small person. So me falling down in a bedroom on top of a pile of CDs and albums was not a pretty sound. Like,
oh no,
the tree makes noise when it falls in the woods when it's Pete in the bedroom. And I definitely, like, on my way down was like, oh my God, CK is going to be in so much trouble.
Oh yeah.
Because Laura's going to be so mad.
You know he was. You know he was.
Yeah.
Because I went in there and I'm like, I'm going to look for him and I'm not going to be able to find him because there's going to be CDs and LPs all over him and we won't know where he went.
I don't even remember if I got up on my own recognizance or you had to come in there and
save
me.
You were still on the floor when I went in there and Chris was like, oh my God, are you okay? And I said, oh my God, I hope he's alive because I'm going to kill you because I told you to clean this stuff up.
That's so funny. And
it
this was before
we did laugh after the fact. We did laugh.
Oh yeah. Well, this is before I started wearing a brace. So I was not as able, you know, or, you know, on my best footing, even in a normal situation. So,
well, there was no way you weren't going to slip in there at some point because there was so much crap in there. I mean, I can't believe it didn't happen sooner than that.
I slept like a baby in that room, though, just totally encompassed by CK's collection.
I was going to say it probably muffled any of the train sound or the bar sounds from outside.
Right,
so, you know, because it was lining every wall in there. It was probably like sleeping in a safe, you know?
Exactly. No, that was fun. And that was a good memory. And like you said, I knew he was going to catch some shit. Now, you got a hold of who I hoped you were going to get a hold of to come and get that stuff with the collection. I'd love for you to talk about that, how that all
absolutely
came to pass.
Well, you know, I had talked to Chris because I'm like, you got to help me out here. I don't know what to do with all this. And he said, well, I hope you're going to keep. I said, dude, keep it. No. And you know, Pete, you saw it. And then he had twice as much after the last time that you saw it. So, he told me to contact Brian Jarosa of Jarosa Records in Brookfield, Connecticut.
Right.
Brian was a good friend.
Brian's awesome.
You know Brian very well.
Me and Chris, CK knew Brian for like the 80s back in the day.
I'm
and
sure.
Record Broker Danbury was where we have both met him.
Yeah. And he was fantastic. I mean, I messaged him first just because I wanted to see if he was even interested. And he was like, holy cow, I am just, I am honored that you even think of me.
Oh, wow.
But he says, of course, I would love to come and look at his collection. Because he said he was always in Jarosa Records. So he said, I know his taste. And he said, I know he's probably got really good stuff there.
Right.
So he said, I'll come and look at it. And when he came, he was like, I can't even tell you, his face just fell. He was like, oh my God. I said, I try to tell you. I said, I gave him a heads up before he came. I said, I'm not exaggerating when I'm telling you, he probably has about 30,000 pieces here.
Wow.
And when he looked at it, he said, you know, I'm thinking you're either right or there's more than that.
Man.
So he said, I'm going to have to consider how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to move it. But he said, I will take the entire collection.
Wow. That's
so I was so thrilled because I was really.
Yeah, you needed to get rid of that so you could move. I mean,
yeah, that,
no
was, that was the major thing because I had to go and I only had like a few weeks to do it. And he said, nope, I will take care of it. Pete. First, the whole thing was,
how many people did
kinda,
this?
Well, you have to kind of go through it and set it up because the boxes of LPs were in the front. See, after you had been there, he had boxes and boxes to the front of the room of LPs, and then the boxes of CDs were in there. But as we moved on and started to kind of sort through stuff, we took the LPs out first, and we started to sort the CDs. We realized there were a lot more than we ever thought because there was a closet to the back of the room.
Oh, man.
Which was like another whole bedroom, this closet, and it was stacked floor to ceiling with CD boxes.
Gosh.
You know, the rubber, those big Rubbermaid tubs.
Yeah.
So there was a lot more than we thought. And then there was a front closet and there was stacked with LPs, just stacked. So he went through everything. A lot of stuff was still in plastic. A lot of stuff hadn't even been opened, but he was like, this stuff is phenomenal.
Wow.
Like, he has everything of everything. And he says, there is stuff here that you can't get.
Oh, because I wouldn't doubt it.
Chris was getting stuff for these bands because he was doing this research for a lot of overseas bands. So he was ordering stuff coming from overseas.
Right.
So you can't buy that stuff in the United States. So he bought the entire collection, 4 days of moving. He had to hire movers.
Wow.
And I had to stop what I was doing and I helped him. His son came. So it was, there was like six of us packing up this stuff because they had to keep bringing boxes upon boxes plus the rubber tubs. And we just kept packing, but was 4 days of packing all of this stuff up and moving it.
Wow.
I mean, I won't give the amount he paid, but it was a premium amount.
That's
because
fantastic.
He was just like, he said, you know, ordinarily I don't buy collections this big and stuff because I don't have room. The poor man had to rent another storage unit just for Chris's stuff.
Wow.
Because he had nowhere to put it when he realized how much he had, but it was a premium amount. And I had a picture of Chris and I on the refrigerator and he patted the picture and he said, I'm doing it for this guy right here because this is phenomenal. So he messaged me like a few days later and he said, I have to tell you, he said, you will laugh at this, but I have been in the storage unit with Chris's stuff because he said, I can't walk away from it. Every time I'm looking at it, he said, I'm just amazed at what this man had. There's so much good stuff.
Wow.
So he went back to his store and created a special section of heavy metal.
I saw that he expanded the metal section. That's amazing.
In honor of Chris. Wow. And he said, you won't even believe it, but once that stuff went on the shelf, he said it was emptying out faster than he could keep it on the shelf.
I wouldn't doubt it. Wow.
He said kids were always coming in and asking for this music. And he was like, well, you know, I don't really have it because he didn't really think there was an interest. But he's like, holy cow, it's going out like crazy.
That's incredible.
So there you go. And he said, he said, I'll have this. He said, I don't even know if I thought I'd have this stuff for years. But he said, if I keep putting it out and it sells like that, it's probably just going to all go at some point, you know, because everybody's into the music. So it was good for everybody, but it just shows his taste. But when he was looking through stuff, he said he really had a taste of every kind of music because he didn't just have, you know, the heavy metal or anything. He had a lot of rock.
Mm-hmm.
He even had a lot of jazz in there. And I was surprised at that because I didn't even know that he had that. And I'm not talking about like smooth jazz or anything. I'm talking about old time jazz and things like that. But he had a very eclectic taste. He had a lot of everything.
He definitely did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool that Brian was the one to buy it and that
I'm happy that he got it,
that he expanded his metal section. I wouldn't doubt it for quite some time.
Yep.
With all of the stuff from the CK collection. So
I'm so happy that he got it, but honored too, because Chris really thought a lot of him and I know you did too.
Yeah.
And he was the right person for that collection.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to be able to go to just anybody. I mean, I could have pieced it out and sold it out, but I think he was the right person for it.
No, I think you're 100% right. I think, like you said, Brian's a good dude. I haven't seen him for many, many years, of course, living out here. Yeah.
He was fantastic. He was great. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, he was my introduction into the heavier side of metal because he was the buyer at Record Broker for the metal stuff. And so we would look at like these magazines and he was like, what do you think? You know, like, should I order this? I'm like, oh, I've heard good things about that.
I didn't even know that.
And I know he talked to Chris about that stuff as well, but there were a lot of the imports and stuff that Brian was ordering for Record Broker that were from recommendations from people like me and Chris, who were in there all the time and were into that stuff, you know. So
that's what he said. He said he probably wouldn't have known a lot of that stuff except for you guys.
And he went and did his own thing after Record Broker closed, started Jarosa Records, and has been there ever since, which is a testament to his abilities to keep a record store open for that long.
Absolutely.
In an age of everybody going digital. So,
yeah, because I have to tell you, like, you know, probably in this area, I think he's one of the only places left, except I think there's one place in Northern Connecticut and then maybe Poughkeepsie or someplace. Wow.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, Jarosa Records in Brookfield, Connecticut, definitely a great place to get some music, especially if you're into metal. Laura,
and if you want metal music, Chris has a section there, so go look at it.
That's right. That would be, for a listener, get a piece of CK's metal collection.
Absolutely, and you sure would.
I know that you said that he would listen to a lot of these bands, but was there any other prep that you knew that he did other than, you know, probably doing some reading online with, you know, getting ready for his metal segments?
Well, like I said, he would get the CDs of the band, all different CDs. So he would listen to anything that they ever did.
Right.
He did go online and read stuff, or he read the liner notes in the CDs. Mm-hmm. But he would look up things about them. So if there was a book out or anything like that, he would look into it and see what he could find out. Or if there was like a documentary, some bands have documentaries out. So if there was that out, he would put that on and watch that. He would get every bit of info that he could get. Mm-hmm. On the band, because he always said, I want to go on and I want to know everything that there is about them. So if a listener had a question, he wanted to be able to answer it. He didn't want to be able to sit there and go, no, I'm not really sure. That was his thing. He did not want to be unprepared. He wanted to make sure he could answer anything anyone would ever ask.
Yeah.
And he said for himself, he wanted to know everything about the band too.
Sure.
Like every little detail. So he was good about that. But like I said, he was Mr. Memory. I don't know how he did it. To sit there and watch him was just amazing, because for me, I would have to have liner notes sitting there where I would have to glance down and kind of look at it for a minute.
Exactly.
Not one note. I could tell you just watching him, not one note. And he would remember every detail.
Wow.
I don't know how he did it, but amazing to watch.
Yeah, definitely. And I know now the way we do it is we take each of us has a turn. So we rotate who does the metal segment and picks the band and stuff. So that's how we've been doing it. Good. Change the intro to the show with the same music, but a little revamp of that. It's, you know, a tribute to CK and calling him, of course, his nickname, which was the great metal motherfucker, which... We could say that on here, he was my son actually was the one that came up with that. He's Dad, have you ever heard of this song by the band Chrysix? And I'm like, yeah, I've heard it, you know, and he's like, you guys should use that for an intro for CK. And I'm like, yeah, you know, and then he'd keep asking me about it till one day I sat there and listened to it. I'm like, you know what? That would be really cool. Just start calling it the great metal motherfucker. So that song
is
by that name, and we use it and still do. So, but we say it's a tribute, of course, to CK, and that he's bestowed his knowledge upon us. And now we take turns with the horns and we do the bands that way. So we're trying to do him justice.
And I'm sure you guys are doing a great job.
But there's only one Chris Kovacs, that's for sure.
Oh, that's for sure. Definitely.
Now, I was lucky enough to make three trips to see you guys. Yep. And they were all in September. So September 2017 and September 28th, or I'm sorry, it was August 2018. Because it came out there with Alex a week before she went to school. So it was early August. And we went to a Yankee game with Chris, which was awesome.
God. Yes.
Statue of Liberty with him and with us. And, of course, just chilling time with you guys and having Angel over and stuff. But that was just a really fun break. And so Alex got to meet.
It was always fun when you came. That would, like, make his year when you were there, when you came in.
Oh, wow.
And he loved when Alex was there.
Yeah.
That I mean, was it's cool. Funny because he was a little weird around kids because he wasn't really used to kids like I am.
Oh, sure.
But he thought she was awesome because she was just fantastic. And he said, what a trooper she was that day you went to the city because it was so hot. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
He said, oh, my God. It was so hot. But he said, oh, my God, she loved the game.
Yeah.
She was just really into the whole Statue of Liberty thing. He said he said she made me see it all differently. And he says, obviously, I've seen that stuff before, but to see it sure. with her was like so great.
Yeah, it was a great, great trip. And yeah, to be able to bring my granddaughter Alex out there with me to see it. And, yep. you know, she'd heard me talk about CK and you and Danbury and just being back yep. home and stuff. So it was cool to let her go out there and see it. And then, of course, sure. she moved the year later. So
yeah.
I'm glad that I was able to do that nice. With her. So that yeah. was really fun. Yeah. We still talk every week, FaceTime.
Oh, good.
And she's doing fantastic in North
I
Carolina.
I can't believe how big she's getting.
I know. And she's in advanced math. She's in advanced English. Oh, she's just
fantastic.
Killing it. So she turned out really, really good. So,
oh, awesome. And
then the year after that, September 2019, I came out there with Jenny at the time. Yep. We were just recently engaged and got married the following April. But but that was a fun trip, you know, come out there with
Absolutely.
Her. And she yeah. got to see, you know, all the things I'd been
crazy
talking
Danbury.
About. Right? Wild Man
crazy
Street.
Crazy Wildman Street.
Exactly.
stupid train.
So, yeah. So those were some really fun, fun trips out there. So that was just good memories. And I'm glad that he enjoyed me coming out there as much as I enjoyed coming out there. So.
Oh, always. See, you couldn't believe how excited he would get like 2 weeks before he would be preparing. And I'm like, did you clean that room yet? Nope, I'm going to do it.
Well, he got off lucky the last two times because we stayed in hotels. So yes. I didn't have to stay in the room.
Thank goodness, because he had so much stuff at that time. I don't know if we could have cleaned out a spot
right?
for
would
you.
Right, had to sleep on top of the boxes or something.
I mean, by the time Brian came, he couldn't even believe that there was a bed in there. I said, no, it's there. It's just underneath everything. It's
wow.
there.
Wow.
And once he started moving stuff, he goes, oh, my God, there is a bed there. I said, I told you.
Now, we've had a good discussion about Chris and how much the podcast meant to him and how much the listeners loved him being part of the podcast and me, Chris, and Joey. Joey had to work today. They weren't able to make it out here. But they both, of course, wanted me to, you know, just tell everyone how important he was to not just me, but to all of us here.
Oh, so. Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's why we've
As
got the cardboard.
To him.
That's
you
how we get
to
the
him.
Cardboard CK
there
back
is.
There. Because I did that early on because it's like, well, we got one that does it remote. So at least this way he's kind of here with us.
He's kind of there, yeah.
And we put Which hats
thrilled
on
him. To
him
no
and,
end, I tell you.
Oh,
you took
I'm
him
sure.
On, you took him to all of your little things with you. And,
yeah.
And he was always like, I'm going all kinds of places.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Don't even know it.
That was kind of the intention was to always yeah. have him with us. So now that he's yeah. gone, it's like he is still in
oh, yeah.
some way
well,
here
he's
with
still
us.
Still there anyway. You know he is.
Yeah.
He's still there listening. He's probably critiquing you all too.
Probably. I'll probably get this huge list when I finally see him again of all the things I didn't do right. You left out that album. God damn it. Yeah. But is there anything else you wanted to add to this, Laura?
I don't know. Just basically, I'm glad that you guys made him a part of the podcast because that was something that he really enjoyed. And he obviously metal music was his life, pretty much, except for the two of us. And he just enjoyed being able to share his knowledge, and it just made him happy to be with you guys on the air and laugh and joke and have a good time. And it was just great. It was just
yeah,
a good
thing. I mean,
thing
at a time in his life when he needed a distraction, you know,
he didn't need it. And, all of you guys being his friends and all that stuff, I think being home a lot, he was home by himself a lot. Cause I worked obviously. And, I think it really just enriched his life. He needed that. And it made him feel a part of something. And happy, and it was great. It was great.
That's awesome. And I'm going to say something to you that I have never told anybody. I don't know if I'll be able to say this without kind of falling apart here, so I apologize in advance.
But okay.
when we first started doing the podcast, you know, I was just starting to get back into my writing big time.
Right.
And I was, you know, really getting interested in that. And I had always wondered, you know, what would it have been like had I not played in Low 12 for 18 years? And what would I maybe have accomplished in my writing that I wasn't doing because I was so tied up with that? Mm-hmm. So I've always kind of second guessed that decision. I mean, I don't miss being, I'm not saying I regret playing. I'm just saying I wondered
if I
would have kept writing,
sure anybody would.
How much farther along would I be, you know?
Right.
And so when we started doing the podcast, I really had some doubts in the beginning of, you know, is this going to be like the Low 12 thing where I'm going to now take away from my writing and now spend more time doing something else. And I also know how I am with stuff that if I'm going to do it, I'm doing it all the way.
Sure.
I knew I would get entrenched in this thing.
Yeah.
And so now it's taken away from the writing, you know, and there were times where, you know, Chris would mention, you know, like, boy, I wish I was getting more writing from, you know, like I really miss your reading some of your stuff. Because, you know, there I couldn't do it as fast, you know, and there were times I even took a little bit of time away from it. But because the podcast every week is just relentless and I really thought about it and I decided to keep doing the podcast. I had doubts at the beginning because I wanted Chris to be able to CK to experience that. I also knew how much he loved it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to take that away from him now after having given it to him. And I also knew, as you knew, that his case was terminal. I mean, this was, I know we all held out hope that he was going to make it.
We did. He knew, of course.
We all knew. I mean, we're all terminal, right, in some way.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. With Chris, it was.
Absolutely.
There was a definite, you know, end to this, and we knew it was going to be rough. And so I thought, you know, I don't know when that's going to be. Is that going to be in 6 months or 6 years? I have no idea.
See, that was a thing that all of us, we all didn't know because he had a way, and you know this over the years, he had a way of surprising us. Everything would look dire and all of a sudden he'd be fine and you'd be like, what the hell just happened?
Exactly. I kept telling him, stop scaring me.
Yeah. What you're doing with the podcast was fantastic for him. But that being said, I can tell you honestly that if you had decided to go more with your writing, he would have been fine with that because he really enjoyed. I don't know if the listeners know that he was one of your beta readers.
He was my beta reader. He was the only one.
He would read for you and he enjoyed that too. So if you had ended up going that direction, he would have supported you no matter what direction you went because
you were
his friend. And to him, it was whatever would have made you happy, whatever would have worked for you.
Right.
I think as long as he would have felt the part, he would have felt the part of your writing because he was reading it.
Right.
So either way, he would have been involved. And as long as you were still his friend, to him, that's all that would have mattered. That's all that would have mattered because that's who he was. You know him.
Well, of course. Yeah. And like I said, I know that. I know he would have been supportive and, you know, that was just the kind of friend that he was. But, you know, the fact that I just couldn't bear the thought of just pulling the plug on the podcast for going back to writing again. In the very beginning, there was an uncertainty. You know, we were having fun, but I was seeing how much time it was taking me. I mean, it's hours a week I spend getting prepared for these podcasts. I mean, CK, we all do our work, you know, in our own way.
Yeah.
But mine was, you know, a lot of the, you know, the marketing, the
absolutely,
you know, the technical stuff, the pulling all the pieces together, writing it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, and when I get done with the podcast notes, it's about the length of a chapter of a book. So I, you know, was sitting here thinking, geez, every week I'm writing a chapter in a book, which was what the pace I kept when I wrote my novels was a chapter a week.
Yeah.
So I really started to wonder, but once I saw how much it meant to him, I just knew that I'm going to do this for as long as I can because I want him to have that.
Sure.
And it really, I think, took it to the next level. I know he was involved in my writing, very importantly, as a beta reader. Yeah. But this was a chance for him to get up and speak and talk about something he loved and being a part of it and the camaraderie at a time in his life when he was so down with all the cancer stuff. And we were able to give him something. And also, in return, we got this sidekick character, goofy, but very knowledgeable and different from us. So, which makes it, you know, if we all were the same on doing the show, it wouldn't be as funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wouldn't be as fun as it
is. Right. So that's what made it fun.
Totally. You guys are awesome. Just listen to you guys. I can't tell you how many times I was sitting over there and he was laughing at me because I was going, oh, my God.
Right.
Listen to you guys.
And loved having him on the fake commercials.
It was such camaraderie, you guys.
All the fun stuff.
Yeah. That's, I mean, he did enjoy that. And I thank you for that because he really did. He really enjoyed that. That was, he looked forward to that every week.
Awesome. Well, like I said, we looked forward to him every week.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you, Laura, for coming on and talking with me. You know, didn't want to do a tribute
anytime
to CK without hearing your words and chatting with you. So always good to talk to you, Laura. Thank you very much.
Great to talk to you, too. You take care now.
All right. See you later.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Mother. Man.